It's a new transmitter. There it's back. Mic check. Bone, go to this one. So the one went out last week, and we had to try a new one, so that's what we were trying to do. Thought we had it working. Apparently not. So we'll go back this way. Aren't you glad he's coming again? Amen. I'll say that again. Here we go. Take your Bibles and open up to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Book of Deuteronomy. While you're turning there, I'm going to try this one more time. It didn't pair up is what it's doing. It's lost it. So that'll work. We'll fix it later. The book of Deuteronomy and the 26th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 26. My grandmother used to always say that the devil's workshop was idle hands. He has a new toy called electronics now to play with. And our world seems to want to deal with them more and more and more, no matter what. Kind of a side note while you're turning there. You ever take a day and just get completely off the grid? Everybody goes, what? Yeah. Try it sometime. You'll find out the old way was better. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Realize in the Old Testament here, as God moved the Israelites out of Egypt under the direction with Moses being his guide to them and following their statutes, they came to a point where they were going to enter into the promised land. As they do that, God speaks through Moses and tells the people that they are a special people. He describes to them that they will be above the people that he has chosen to be above all other nations, not because they're the best looking, not because they're the strongest, not because they are a great nation, but because he has taken what is stiff-necked, honoring, weak, and any other adjective you want to put in there, because when we are at our weakness, he is at his greatest. And so in these next few verses of chapter 26, we're going to look at 16 through 19, Moses presents, and I always like the Old Testament because you always know when it's God speaking, and he describes to them what it is to be special. Now, we're also going to look at the fact that Jesus continues that, as we've talked about in the New Testament, many times over what he says, and he declares it, that the Father has sent him, and he says, I speak not of my Father, of myself, but of my Father, what he has heard him say, what he has heard him do, seen him do. And collectively, we know that the Trinity is one, yet they are separate, all speaking in tandem, because it all comes because they are one. For our contemplating, sometimes that's hard to understand. But for God, it's just everyday affairs, right? He does that. So the title of the message is A Special People. I invite you to stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning in verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to otherwise observe them with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in the ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised you that you should keep all of His commandments, and that He will set you high above all nations, which He has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. You may be seated. Now that proclamation that we just read, that God has proclaimed that, was to the Jewish people. They are His people. Through Jesus Christ, you and I, whether we were born Jewish or not, have the opportunity to be in that same classification, that same of God's people. Jesus tells us in John that He no longer calls us servants, but He calls us His brothers and His sisters. And in fact, because of that, it is above the fact of just being Jewish, the chosen people of God. Scripture tells us also that He chooses you and I, that He knows He always sees from the end back to the beginning. He knows those who have a willing heart to accept Jesus Christ as His Lord and Savior. And so here, as talked about before, whenever God talks about His people in the Old Testament, it includes you and I. Now notice what He says. And when you think about the day you accepted Christ, you ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you and I made the same declaration that the nation of Israel made here. He says, "This day of the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes, judgments, and therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all of your heart, with all of your soul." In John 14:23, Jesus will say, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And what we hear here in this very first verse is no different than the first commandment that Moses would write and be placed in the book of evidence, which is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. The same that Jesus would recite when He asked, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And He says, "These two I give you." The first was exactly the same. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our soul. Well, for you and I to do that, it's clear, both from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that if we want to show our love back to the Lord, the simplest, the easiest way, the most prominent way, is to keep His commandments and His statutes in everything that we do. And through that, God blesses. Listen to what else it says. It says, "Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes." Is that not what we do when we accept the Lord as our Savior? Exact same thing. "Lord, I ask you today to come in to forgive me of my sin and to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, and to walk with me through this life, even into eternity." Again, we are walking His way, and that is exactly what the Father has said. Verse 18, He says, "Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised." Jesus made that promise, as Paul records in the book of Romans, as we often use that as the road to salvation. He says that if a man confesses with his mouth and he believes with his heart and he asks the Son to come into his heart to be his Lord and Savior, he will come in. We proclaimed as Christians that He is our Lord and Savior, just as they proclaimed to be God's, that He was their God. And He says, "You shall be my people, a special people." And He promises not only that to the people of Israel. You and I have the fortune of coming after the point that Christ was born. crucified and resurrected and will come again, as you sang in the song, that once we are His, we are always His. Once saved, always saved. And He says He will keep that even from the days of the Old Testament. He says the same thing. You should keep His commandments. Finally, in verse 19, He says, and He will set you high above all nations, which He has made in praise, in name, and in honor. The world itself does not look at you and I as being honorable. Matter of fact, most of the world will say that we're weak. We have to have a crutch. We have to have Jesus. But you know what? I don't care what the world says. I care what He says. I'm glad to have that crutch, if that's what you want to call it. It's not a crutch. It's a Lord. It's a Savior. And no matter what I go through in life, He too goes right there. He defies what man's philosophy says. Stace, you mentioned you weren't supposed to live past a certain age. Looky here, a living miracle, there you are. Not by what man says, but by God, what God says. For each one of us, we celebrate the birthdays. We celebrate the anniversaries. Why? Because it's a gift from God every single day that you and I draw breath. It is a gift. We don't know what our timetable is. He does. And we know that it is perfect in every form and fashion. So what He asks from you and I is simply to obey His statutes. Why? Because those parameters keep you and I safe. If we follow what He says, He promises that He will bless us. He keeps us out of trouble. Now, if y'all are like me, you have trouble. You have a whole lot of need to stay out of trouble. We have a propensity to get in trouble. You don't believe me? Look at the example of His people. Read the Old Testament. Over and over again, they wandered away. The difference was today we have a Savior that says all we have to do is repent to Him, turn the other way, and He will guide and direct us. He even gives us that promise in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, in verse chapter 16, in verse 11, the Holy Spirit inspires David to write this: You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy, and Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, I think about the times of going through this world, and especially today with all of the different things taking place, I can't imagine trying to go through the struggles of life without the strength of Jesus Christ. We have time that we have praise and prayer, praising Him for what He's done. Miss Marilyn's back with us today. We've had healings all across this room, from all types of ailments, from cancer to anything else. We've seen the handiwork of God. And you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Them doctors took care of it. Who gave that doctor the knowledge? Amen. Who gave the doctors the techniques, the medicine, the different things that come into play? You see, nothing, as John describes in the very first chapter, that nothing was made or could be made without Him. He is the orchestrator of all things. Everything you and I have is a gift from God. You say, I worked for everything. Who gave you that ability to work? Who gave you the knowledge to be able to work? Who put the people in front of you that trained you? You see, it's over and over again when you find out the root, we really had nothing to do with it whatsoever. God lays out a plan for each one of us. And what He asks from us is to be obedient and to follow His will and His plan, because it will be far better than ours. And so as we go through this life, we look both from the Old Testament to the New. As I said in John 14, 23, Jesus says the same thing. He says, if any man loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. That's exactly what Moses gave the word of God to the people of Israel. Now, their home was called the promised land on this earth. Mine and your home, when our Lord takes us home or He comes again, my home is in the Father's house. And Jesus says, I go in to prepare mansions for you. You know, I just, by reading Revelations, if they make big old walls and gates out of nothing but diamonds and emeralds and rubies, and the gates out of a big old pearl, I got news for you. We can have the best house ever made by the man's hands, and it will look like a rat shack compared to what we have in heaven. If you're going to use gold as asphalt, I assure you that mansion is made even better than that. No matter what we think is precious, to God it's nothing more than asphalt to lay a road with. Uniqueness. His house and our home will be with Him. And most of all, I'll be real honest with you, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear Him speak like the disciples did, you don't get any higher cotton than that. Outstanding. But between now and then, when He comes again, you and I have a job to do. You and I are to be witnesses to the world around us that does not know Him. You and I are to be His hands, His feet. And the only way we can follow His plan and be that witness or be what He wants us to be, we have to follow His statutes and be obedient to His direction that the Holy Spirit lays on our heart. Look with me, if you will, this we'll close, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul is of age. Paul has been mentoring young Timothy to take his place. And Paul realizes that his time on this earth is coming very close to an end. Paul, in the 6th chapter and verse 12, writes these things to Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of faith. You notice there's nothing there about a physical fight. It is a fight of faith, because we fight a battle that is not of flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's speaking directly to you and I even today, to every believer. It is a fight of the good faith, to keep our faith strong. Hebrews tells us to not neglect the gathering together of ourselves. Why? Because there is so much strength in numbers. You see, when we're together of like minds and we open God's word, He promises two or more are gathered. He's there also, just as He is this morning. But His Spirit envelops both you and I. We may not agree on everything in life, but the one thing we can agree on is what He brings us together from His Spirit. And whenever you take a collective union of people, just as we have this morning, He also promises what you and I commit to prayer to be done here on earth. It is done by His will as well. We collectively bring that power, His power. Whenever that they showed in the Old Testament His Kashana glory that would go into that temple, right into the Holy of Holies, it was in the presence, and every place that you read that, it is in the presence of all of the people, that His power, His glory might shine. You and I, as He tells us in Matthew, are that lighthouse. We are the shining star to a darkened world. The only way that you and I can continue to be that shining star is not by doing our own will and our own way, but by following His will and His way. So fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He will return one day. And you and I will stand before a holy God to account for the life in which we have lived. I'm so passionate and favorable to the song that said, I stood before him, and that was when mercy walked in, Jesus Christ. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. No greater decision will you ever make. Now, the old devil's going to tell you, especially after what I just read, he's going to say, see, you got all those do's and don'ts to do. That's a lie. For what happens when he comes into mine and your heart, we have a desire to follow his will. Don't take you very long to figure out if you follow his way, things all run right and they become blessed. Even when they seem like it's the hard times, there's still a joy and a peace, just as Jesus promised. So if you don't know him personally today, not a head knowledge that you believe there is a God, but a heart knowledge that you know him personally and he knows you personally. If you have not made that commitment today, we want to offer you that opportunity. We're going to say a real simple prayer. We're going to invite everyone here to say that same prayer. Again, there's power in that togetherness. Say that same prayer in order to encourage you. For you see, we're special in his eyes. But as everyday people, we're nothing special. We've just been forgiven. We've already asked him into our lives. And we look forward that if you don't know him today, you'll ask him into your life. As we pray together, dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask you today to forgive me of my sin, to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, and to walk with me even into eternity. See, it's that simple. Jesus stands at the door and knocks on your heart. But you have to open that door. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you open that door for him this morning, and it is the first time you ever accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I got the best news of all for you. Your life has just started over. With every head bowed, I'm going to ask you simply, if you will, to slip your hand up. We want to pray for you and with you because you start on a new journey. Every single one of us started that journey. That's why they call us babes in Christ, because we learn a new way. Christian, Paul says we're a peculiar people. And the reason we are peculiar, because we don't follow the ways of this world. Paul just told Timothy that we make the good confession in front of all. I, like you, have to look at my own life and be honest. Are we following his statutes? Are we yielding a good confession before many witnesses? See, you and I sometimes may be the only Jesus that someone else sees or comes in contact with. Serious responsibility, but awesome reward. All by our Heavenly Father, through the Son, Jesus Christ. Brother Mike, would you close us, please, sir?